Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yo. Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man.
Happy Tuesday. Guys, we know there's a lot going on in the world, and Mike and I will certainly talk about it and address it with you. You may have seen on social media the hashtag Blackout Tuesday, which is a day prompted by activists to observe, mourn, and bring about policy change in the wake of George Floyd's death. We will talk plenty about that. You'll hear from Lloyd Pierce as well, the head coach of our Atlanta Hawks, as he came on our radio station this morning. With all of that said, we normally get things rolling and we set up things and we'll get to all of that, guys. But we want to say good afternoon to Coach Mike Norville, who is the head football coach at Florida State, because Coach is busy. He set aside some time for us today, and we certainly want to get his thoughts of what's going on, but more importantly, what's happening with this program and the state of college football. So, Coach, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. Definitely appreciate you guys having me on, and as leading into it, you talk about the things that are going on within our country, and I know what's happening within our program is important, but I definitely believe that the events that are going across our country is something that that everyone needs to focus on and to obviously bring an approach and an appreciation of the necessity of what needs to change. And that's something that, we've spent a lot of time within our program, and you're talking to our players, trying to have that type of communication and feel. But I know the events that have gone on in Atlanta and, obviously just throughout our country. And, it's definitely, bringing that to light and the importance of the where we are as a country and a nation. I think that's going to be reflected on all of college football and what we get to do each and every day.
And we talked about it yesterday, Coach. I'm a big Florida State fan, and I know that reaching out to your kids and social media is a big part of that. And I applaud you for getting out there. I know you retweeted. We spoke with Tony Dungy just a few weeks ago, and I know you retweeted his message.
Absolutely. And, I think, everybody in the country, we're sitting there this weekend and, just seeing, obviously the events that were happening and, obviously, everybody, has feelings. It's heartbreaking to see, hate, discrimination, all injustice that occurs, and being able to have a voice, the platform that I have, the platform that our players have, you obviously are very inspired by Coach Dungy and the career that he's had and the man that he is, and you would in reading that and being able to support that message and to speak of my heart is something that is important, and I know our players, we all have feelings, we all have emotions. Being able to make sure that our voice is heard, and and more importantly than what we say, what are the actions, and what can we do to help spark change in our country's future. And I told our guys here this weekend that I'm blessed and fortunate to lead this program because we do have a great platform, and we've got the future leaders of our country that I get to coach each and every day, and we're going to continue to pour into them and help develop them in every aspect. And these are times and experiences that will never be forgotten, and we've got to capitalize by making a change in how we operate and what we continue to do.
Mike Norville, head football coach at Florida State here on Dukes and Bell. And, Coach, I'm glad you're saying that. I talked about it a little bit yesterday, and we'll talk more today about, using your platform and using what you have, because I think it's important for college coaches to do what I've seen from a lot of them, not all, but most, and that's speak out. And do you feel there's an obligation as a college coach to do that? I don't know if you've always done that in following your career, because I don't know if we've had an event like this spark our nation as this has. But do you feel it's important as college coaches?
I think you're speaking out is one thing, but following up with action is something else, and that's something that we talk about to our guys all the time, is that our voice does matter, but if our actions don't follow the words that we say, then it's not going to have the impact, and we're not going to have the we're not going to be able to be the influence that we want to be in helping spark that change or to help obviously support a cause. And so that's more than anything else, that's what we try to help lead our guys in showing of opportunities of ways, and that's something that we're all going through. I think you see, if anybody follows social media, there's a lot of things that are being put out there. Obviously there are a lot of emotions and feelings about what's going on, and obviously rightly so. And but more than anything else, what are we willing to do to help that change with action? And that's something that our coaching staff, our players, we're all in conversation of going through with things that we can do to help spark that change and help make a positive impact in our community and make a positive impact in this country.
It is Mike Norville, guys, our first chance to talk to the new head coach of Florida State football. And as we said, we'll pivot to talking about, obviously, what has been a bizarre offseason with COVID-19 and all the things that you want to try to do that you can't do. First off, how tough was it? Or tell us about the experience, because obviously, it has been a strange couple of years for Florida State, and you step right into it. How tough was it to sell your message to the guys?
Well, I mean, I believe as coming into this program, this is one of the most iconic programs in all of college football, and I'm definitely humbled and honored for the opportunity to lead it. And when I came in the very first day, I told our football team that this was going to be a process of us each and every day trying to be the best version of ourselves. And I truly am grateful to the opportunity to be a coach and help impact this program to help get us back to where we deserve to be. And I believe that's among the nation's elite. And it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of buy-in from everybody involved. But much like we were saying earlier, it's words sound good, but we want to have actions that are applied daily into what we're doing to continue to grow and maximize the potential that we have. And this is an unbelievable place. I mean, the things that we have when you look at the resources and the opportunity, the recruiting base, the players that we have here on campus, the incredible university that we represent. I mean, it is we have great days ahead. It's just making sure that we're focusing each and every day on capitalizing on the opportunity and living up to that Florida State standard of which has been seen throughout college football history, and that's what we're working to get back to.
Coach, you come from an offensive background, and for those people who don't know, I mean, you had a top 15 scoring, you know, squad at Memphis the last four seasons. We're talking about in the country. You are an OC and a quarterback's coach at heart. That's what you've done. What is going to be different with the Florida State offense? Because in this day and age of scoring points, obviously they didn't do enough of that with the last regime. How do you change that?
You know, I think as a coach, you want to be known for being able to adapt and adjust to the players that you have. And I think if you look through the last 4 years there, when we were at Memphis and had some great offenses, I mean, they were all different. I mean, there was years that we ran for over 4,000 yards. We threw for over 4,000 yards. Other years, I mean, we were very multiple in what we could do because we played to the skill set of the playmakers that we had. And that's the thing I'm excited about. I believe we've got a great group of young men to work with here at Florida State. We've been able to continue to even add to that through recruiting in a short period of time. That we're going to have wonderful competition. And as a coaching staff, we've got to identify exactly what our guys can do well, and then continue to showcase that on a daily basis as we develop through our time here together. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what the final product's going to be. It is going to be a work in progress. It's unfortunate we missed out on I think it was 12 spring practices that would gave us a better preview of that. But our guys are going to be working hard when we do get back, and get an opportunity to really kind of formulate what that's going to look like here moving forward.
It is Mike Norvell. It's the head coach of Florida State with us here on Dukes and Bell as we kind of hit the ground running talking about the Noles. Yeah, Coach, I put my hand up. I'll admit, I'm one of those boosters. I'm one of those bad boosters. I drift in and I drift out. How quickly can you get recruiting back on track in Florida? Because obviously I've seen some big recruiting stories, some of the guys you've landed the last couple of weeks for next year. But how is recruiting going for you?
I think it's going well. I mean, for us, it's all about building relationships, and with that, it takes time. And we've had some unfortunate circumstances with COVID that's not allowed us to get some guys on campus through an extended dead period. But at the end of the day, I mean, we're doing I think a great job as a staff, and collectively getting to know obviously the coaches here in the state of Florida. Obviously we're recruiting the state of Georgia extremely hard, almost treating that as an in-state entity for us. And we're just as we're going through, we're trying to identify the guys that are right fit for Florida State. And I think we're putting together an incredible group. I mean, in the first signing class that we were able to have, even though it was a short period of time to assemble that, I think we were able to get some really dynamic football players, some great young men, and guys that have a huge upside. And we're definitely excited the direction that we're heading here for the future.
Coach Norvell, I want to ask you about a guy that we are watching currently, and I think you got him paid, Coach. Former assistant for you, Dan Lanning, is Georgia's defensive coordinator. And Kirby decided, obviously, that he wanted him to stay at Georgia. I know that you were interested in bringing him down there with you, but I want you to tell our listeners and Georgia fans what they have in Dan Lanning. Well, he's been on the job as the official DC now as one season, but you guys were together for a little while. What makes Dan Lanning special?
Obviously, Dan is somebody I've got a ton of respect for. I mean, Dan and I worked together for many years, back to our time when Dan was a GA for us at Pittsburgh, and then worked together at Arizona State, and I was able to hire him. One of my first hires when I became head coach at Memphis, as one of our full-time assistants. And he is a coach that truly embodies every aspect of what it is to the position. And he's extremely intelligent. X's and O's. I think he's one of the best that I've been around. But also the impact that he has with his players as a recruiter. I mean, it's truly all about the relationship. And I was fortunate to be able to work side by side with Dan for a good while in my coaching career, and he definitely had an impact on me, and it's been fun watching him as he's been able to elevate in his career. And I think you're doing a remarkable job for Georgia, and I know he's got a bright future in front of him.
It is Mike Norville, guys, talking football. What do you know about what you got? I mean, how different? I mean, we talked about meeting the new players, and again, unfortunately, once that the COVID-19 hit, obviously it was hands off. But you like what you see. I mean, should Florida State fans, as you said, temper their expectations? Going to take a minute to turn it to get it where you want it to be?
Well, I mean, what I've been excited about is just the work and the buy-in that our guys have shown in all aspects. And, I'm a firm believer that how you do anything is going to be how you do everything. I challenge our guys that, to push themselves to be the best they can be in all aspects. And, coming off this spring semester, we had the highest team, GPA academically that we've ever had. I mean, our guys really pushed themselves in that regard. I mean, our winter off-season program was remarkable. I mean, the weight gains that we saw in our body weights, the strength, the strength improvements, a lot of great strides that were taken. Unfortunately, like I said, we only had the three practices out there on the field, but, I see a team that's hungry, for improvement, and that's what I want. People ask me all the time, what is that standard? What can we expect here moving forward? And, my number one objective is for us to maximize our potential. Now, I believe in the coaches I work with. I believe in the players that I get to coach each and every day. And, my ultimate goal is that if we can be the best version of ourselves, that is what I'm looking for. And so that's going to be a daily process, and that daily growth and improvement is something that's going to be critical. But, I think the sky's the limit to what we can achieve here in our future. We just have to focus on each day and being the best version of ourselves on that path.
Coach, I know, again, we really appreciate your time and jumping on with us during this turmoil and what's going on with everything and trying to stay in contact with your players. I just want to ask you about the state of college football before we let you go and how you feel about it, where it's going, how it's moving. There's been so much, Coach, over the last, 2 months of conversation about the NCAA, the Power Five separating, this, that, and the other. How do you feel about college football right now and moving towards the fall?
I think college football is one of the greatest things that this country has to offer. I mean, it's something that's built around passion. It's built around love. It's built around development and impact. To see guys, get a chance to, come from all over the country for a common cause and one team and one university. It's pretty special. And so, I know there's a lot of different, factors that have kind of gone on, and, there's been a couple speed bumps on the path to getting back. But, I absolutely believe that we're heading in the right direction, and, we're trying to control the things that we can control, and, making sure that we're in the best position to go out there and play at a high level when we do get that opportunity. So I haven't got too concerned on all the things that are going on the outside, but making sure that we continue to invest and develop in the guys that I get to coach and the people that I get to work with. So that's our focus, but we're definitely excited about getting to be together and to see college football coming back here this fall.
Well, coaches, things get back to normal. We know we got a ton of Florida State boosters here in Metro Atlanta. We'd love to get you on. Don't be a stranger.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for having me on today, and you guys stay safe and go Noles.
Thanks, Coach. That's Mike Norville, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. You guys know unusual that we start out the show with the guests. We kind of get things rolling and tell you what's going on, but we wanted to grab Coach.
Right.
Yeah, we wanted to grab Coach. All right, we'll come back. We will set the table and tell you everything that's going on and get you started as to what this journey is going to be today on Dukes and Bell, a five-hour journey that will include the comments of Lloyd Pierce, the head basketball coach of our Atlanta Hawks, who had some very interesting things to say about what's going on. Find us, all right, on radio.com, on all your devices as we come your way live from our mobile Kia studios, brought to you and driven by Kia. It's Dukes and Bell. Thanks again to Mike Norville, head football coach at Florida State. And it was good, Mike, to get him on to have his perspective about what he's trying to do with his kids. Again, not all college coaches are speaking out enough, in my opinion. They have a lot of power. Their platforms are unbelievable. But to hear what Coach is trying to do, I commend him. And, the football right now is secondary because we're not in football season. But we know once we get there that there's going to be a lot of talk about what they're going to do in the ACC. And, we've said this, Mike, it's Clemson and everybody else right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, look, if you're in there, and I've read, you know, some of Knowles guys, I said a few times in an interview, and he's in a tough spot because, you know, you got to win over coaches who felt, and especially there was an article in the Tampa Bay newspaper when Taggart got. And I think a lot of Florida State fans just felt, you know, pretty quickly on, you knew it was going to be a very difficult fit for Taggart. It just wasn't getting the results, the organizational stuff on the sideline, and unfortunately, ultimately, recruiting, not be able to find the big, you know, the big star players, especially a quarterback or offensive line. But you got to win back some of those black coaches who felt that Taggart got done dirty. You've got to, you know, convince kids. Because, you know, if you're a kid that was a freshman back when Jimbo left, you're going through a lot of turmoil, you know. So also a school, which I don't think people necessarily understand, doesn't have all the resources. Even though you think of Florida State as a football factory, it doesn't have as deep a pockets, Carl, as other schools. So all that he has to deal with. But if you, as you brought up in the interview, he scores a lot of points. It's what everybody wants. And to beat a team like Clemson and to be sexy and to get all the kids out there now, as, you know, Miami's kind down, Florida is on the way up. You know, you've got to have a sexy brand, and that's what Norville's trying to bring. But first things first, you said it. I forget who it was. It was Tony Dungy, or it might have been Rodney Harrison. He's saying, look, if you're a young man and the coach is not speaking about these issues, you should really consider why you're going to that school.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sports is significant, and we know that, right? I mean, as sports fans, and this is a sports show at heart, but really, Mike and I talk about any and everything, which kind of differentiates us a lot of times from what people normally consider to be, you know, a show that is hardcore sports. I would not say that. And that allows us to be able to tackle issues like this. But sports is significant. It's not insignificant. And that's why I think it's important that these coaches speak out. We'll talk more about it. But, you know, after seeing, you know, we got done with the show last night, and then I went and listened, because I didn't have time, obviously, doing the show, to the Dabo Swinney press conference. I was really disappointed. You know, I thought, you know, one of the highest paid.
It's an opportunity, right?
Yeah, the highest paid coaches in the country with his fan base and recruiting base and all the things that are in play. Just should have said more. Just I felt empty. I was left empty, you know, and I respect Dabo for what he's done. So, you know, it just had me thinking this morning, Mike, about I want to hear more from these guys. And now is an opportunity to do that. And again, when you say, well, what can I do? Well, these guys have, you know, something that most of us don't. That's right. And not only that, Mike, you know what else they have? They have brands. They have wealth. They can take a stand. They have clout. And they won't be fired because of it. Right. Some people are afraid to speak out because of it. And so, you know, it's just something that, again, hearing Coach Mike Norville talk and speak to us about it. So more on that coming up. By the way, how are you doing, man? How's your day as we get things rolling? Because, again, Coach joined us to start the show.
Yeah, last night, I mean, there was a peaceful protest for the most part. I mean, again, there are still some knuckleheads, the agitators, I'll say that. And I know that there's folks out there that are doing things, you know, the right way. But again, you're trying to bring consciousness and trying to get people, you know, shook up. I got to tell you a quick story, though. This is, and again, I don't get along with everybody in my building. We got, like anything else, you put 2,000 or how many people live in my, whatever it is, whatever the number of people live in my building, you got everybody, all the different walks of life. In the elevator today, I overhear, God, when are these protests going to end? And I had to bite my lip. I got out of the elevator. I laughed. I texted a buddy of mine. I'm like, the idea of a protest is to get you out of your comfort zone, is to wake you up, is to get you to say and think about things and to talk about things in a dialogue. And then you can go back into your little world. That's part of it. You know, that's why it does. That why, you know, it does inconvenience some people, Carl. So I just had to share that real quick because there are some good things that are going on in our city. I didn't want to name him until his name was out there because I don't want to put him on blast, but there's a guy named Kevin Knapp who is rising in the ranks of the Atlanta Police Department, and there's a video that's out there. I retweeted it where he's dialoguing with a protester, agrees to walk with the protester, holding his hand to defuse some of the stuff that was going on the other night, and he's just a great guy. He played offensive line at Georgia Tech. I've known him since about 99. I was introduced to him by George Godsey, the former Tech quarterback, and he just shows you, Carl, some of the things we said. You know, I get it. Things are tight right now, but there are some good cops, men and women out there doing it, and Kevin, you've seen a lot of him. He's a big guy, and you've seen a lot of him downtown at CNN, but there's a great video up at Mike Bell ATL, and it kind of just goes back to, Carl, some of the things you and I were talking about yesterday.
No doubt. And, you know, I talked about the bike friends that I have that are bike cops, and I heard from him yesterday. He sent me a nice picture and said, I appreciate the shout out and all the guys, you know, that are bike cops, and more importantly, all the guys in the force that I know. And again, we know, Mike, you and I, that it's unfortunate that they're being painted with the broad brush. But I will say there's been also a lot of unity around the country where, you know, especially here in Atlanta, where you've seen cops take knees and, you know, respond to the crowds differently and be somewhat interactive while still trying to uphold their duty. And I think that's also another part of this. So you're right. There's so many positive things that are going on. Do not get caught up in the negative, or at least attempt not to. And then also don't get caught up in the messaging, because remember what this is about. And, right. And to the person that was in the elevator with you, you should have said, do you really know what this is about? Because if you did, you wouldn't be saying, when is this going to be over? Because if that, again, if that was your father or your brother, you might feel differently. And so, you know, I get it. People are uncomfortable right now. But change is never easy, man. It never is easy.
That's the nature of, you know, why things. I mean, again, we're not talking about the end of the spectrum that nobody is happy with, black, white, green, or brown, and that's the level of violence, the level of, you know, single, you know, you think about, like, you know, shop owners. You know, it's one thing, you know, you're trashing an AT&T store. Okay, I mean, again, that's none of that is cool. But I mean, right. the stuff that we can all get our heads around and support. But yeah, that's the thing. I know that here in Atlanta, we've got some really good people, and I think that's why we talked about yesterday. And we got some feedback. Like, I knew it. It's a hot button issue. You talk sports. It's just, there was time yesterday we wanted it. And our bosses, by the way, thanks to our bosses for giving us that opportunity. There's some stations where they're scared of their own shadow. They won't go down this road, you know, and that's not how we operate here at 92.9 The Game. So we appreciate you at least listening. If you didn't listen, that's your prerogative, but we wanted to share how we were feeling at the time.
404-741-0929. It is our phone number. It is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, which you can text the show. Guys, I don't think this is going to dissipate anytime soon. And as things happen in our city, in our community, we'll certainly continue to talk about it. But, you know, I think, Mike, over the weekend, to your point, I think many people probably said, all right, had your fun. You know, and all right, time to chill. And I don't think that they realize. And you know, I was having this conversation with my daughter today, who was like, Dad, what can I do? And so we were talking about it and the energy in the streets. And what I mean by that is young people. I'm not talking about, you know, just craziness. I'm talking about the energy in the street. It's unbelievable. And that's what you're seeing. So, you know, you top that with, I think I was telling Bo this as we had our conversation today, you know, you top with coronavirus being at home for 6, 8, 9 weeks, schools being out. Normally, you know, colleges are not open. Right. So there's just a lot of energy in the streets where normally people's lives might not be as affected, and they might not care as much, but that's not the case. So I don't want to say it's a perfect storm, because I think it's the right storm for the right time to maybe things to take, you know, move forward. But I do think there are some elements at play here that this is not going to dissipate anytime soon, especially over the next few weeks.
I agree with you. And again, also, you know, where it's all the things, as we say, we're a sports talk station, but we'd be blind not to know. It's an election year. There's a lot of stuff going on. So again, let's hope that nobody gets hurt. That's the first thing is, you know, nobody should die. No one else should die over this thing, but we should get the message out there. And again, hopefully as we said, talking with Coach Norville, there's folks that are more comfortable. I mean, it was great what Saban said. You know, Saban got out in front of it for Alabama, you know, I mean, and think about some of his fan base that might not want to hear. I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush, but like any fan that doesn't want to hear anything other than sports, you know, and that was kind of cool to see.
Hey, man, coming up, we're going to talk plenty about where baseball is. It looks like, Mike, I don't know, it looks like the owners are coming off of this stance a little bit with what, you know, they have been saying.
So what do they think? Let me think. The same thing's going on with soccer. So you basically, soccer was threatening the lockout, and then yep. It looks like now cooler heads are prevailing in soccer now. As Jason Longshore told us, Wood is going to get back to work sooner than later. But, I mean, look, it's a negotiation. You know, in some cases, negotiations get really nasty. That's why some folks have agents, so you don't have hurt feelings. You're not looking across the table at your boss while he's telling you this or that. You know, that's why sometimes they go to an arbitrator. But in this case, yeah, it was such posturing, you know, and I guess that probably would have been better for everyone is if it didn't play out in the media, because that's where the perceptions get formed by the public, you know, the court of public opinion. And some of the stuff made the owners look like complete jerks.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that was posed, and we're going to get more into this coming up, is how much power does Rob Manfred have over MLB season playing? Like, can't the commissioner just say, hey, we're playing? And it's kind of interesting to hear what was said by some of the players. We'll get into that. We'll tell you what the latest is with MLS, as Mike mentioned. Also, you will hear from Lloyd Pierce coming up next hour at around 3:20, head basketball coach of our Atlanta Hawks, talking about what's going on in Atlanta and more. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. headache that was bothering him, I guess, last night.
Oh, Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen us.
Yeah, and so we needed him to come off the bench. He refused. We called the play. He didn't want to run it, so he said, I'm not going in. So, yeah, man, Craig, I hope you feel better, but apparently he had a nasty headache, maybe a migraine last night, and it just didn't go away. So today he was like, I can't do this. And so I just want to give a big shout-out to Ken. Thanks for coming in and helping out the show, man. Appreciate that, Ken.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we're a team, okay? Craig's like, as we said, if we're an NFL team, he's Antonio Brown. But we love him. Tremendous talent. Troubled. You know, Craig is that guy now. Like, remember Quentin Daly? The troubled Quentin Daly. You know, yeah. Now we have the troubled prefix for Craig. But again, Craig, you soldier on. You know, take some Advil. You'll be all right, man. You get your head right.
All right, so hopefully
we're
he'll
not
be
judging.
Back.
We're not judging.
Never, never. We would never do that. So Bo Morgan, executive producer of the show. As we mentioned, Lloyd Pierce came on our morning show with John Fricke, Hugh Douglas. You'll hear what Coach had to say about what's going on. Speaking of speaking out, did you see Trae Young and some of the things that he said at his rally? He's actually back home in Oklahoma leading things there. But, you know, the Hawks retweeted. I just did as well. Kevin Huerter, Red Velvet, speaking up. And the point is, guys, you're seeing more and more of this. And I think, Mike, a lot of professional athletes, for whatever reason, you know, are feeling more comfortable because I think a lot of them at this point are like, I don't care what you think of me. This is more important in my opinion. And I think that's been weighed by a lot of guys over the years, right? It's why, you know, when we watched the Jordan documentary, that 10-part series, The Last Dance, Mike was like, I just wanted to play ball and wanted you to judge me for who I was on the court. I didn't want to involve myself in these things. And that's fine. But you have guys who have always weighed this. Is it more important for me to speak out and say something, or should I just continue to do what I do every day, whether it's, you know, playing ball or being a quarterback or whatever it might be? And I think you're seeing more and more guys in this particular situation, at least, speak up and say, I don't care what you think about where I'm at. I think this is important for me to say.
Right. And I know that, as we said, you know, there's folks out there, and hopefully, you know, like Hope Carl, as we said, the message does sink in. I just think, you know, we're living in unprecedented times. You know, these are strange times. I mean, as we said, 2020 is just one of the most awful years, but maybe there's something that can actually be positive that comes out of this, is that people do acknowledge that, you know, it's not, if it doesn't affect you, it doesn't affect you. No, it affects all of us. And I think that's the hardest part, is to get people, you know, out of their corner, you know, to get involved, to engage, and say, hey, here's, you know, there's a lot of things wrong with this country. Let's all work on it. You know what I mean? But unfortunately, as I said, you know, it just drives me crazy when I see some of the stuff. Social media is like, I don't know if it's just, there's some positive things, but most of it just leaves you scratching your head. So I just try to, all I'm trying to do is be positive. I'm not going to argue with people anymore. It is what it is, you know, but you're hoping you can change some minds. Maybe that's not the, you know, the venue for it. But, you know, I do think, Carl, sports is the one thing we all love sports. That's why we're here. And, you know, the Kaepernick thing was polarizing. I think we talked about that yesterday. There were elements about Kaepernick that we guys just couldn't get their head around. And if you still can't get your head around, there's really not much we can say, right? I mean, there's just some people that aren't going to get where we're trying to go here.
No. And, you know, as I said to Coach Norville, or maybe even after we talked to him, that sports can be a unifying thing because it's so significant, but it has to be embraced. And I think we're seeing that across the board. And, you know, it can't be one guy. It can't be one sport. But I do think, Mike, as we work our way back to sports, that the importance of the messaging and how it's handled and how people address these things is going to matter. And so that's why I think it can be a unifying factor. I think some people right now want sports so that this can go away. And I don't think that's the right attitude. I think sports would enhance this conversation because, you know what? Every interview you'd be seeing right now would be about this. Every star would be talking about this if they were playing. And if they're not talking about it, they would at least be acknowledging it, you know, because they'd be, again, having to be asked these questions. So it wouldn't necessarily go away. Actually, it might even be more enhanced, more intense, because more guys might be talking about it. So I think sports can help, but, you know, we'll see how it makes its way back and then how the approach is. Speaking of baseball, I want to bring this up because we're talking about how much power does Rob Manfred have. And they're unable to reach an agreement yet. We've talked about it. MLB is the one sport Mike and I have been, I think, I don't want to say lagging on, but a little doubtful about whether or not we're going to have a season. I keep thinking in my heart of hearts they're going to work it out, but how much power does he have? And, Mike, the players basically are saying, listen, Rob Manfred can make this happen. He can go to the owners and tell them, this is crap. Let's make sure.
No, he works for the owners.
Well, that's why they're saying this. That's why they're saying this. He could go to the owner and say, this is crap. And hey, we need to do this, this, this. And he's got the power to influence them enough so that the season can happen. Do you agree with that? Do you believe that to be the case?
If that was the case, but unfortunately, guys, as we say all the time, now again, for younger listeners out there, you might not know who Bart Giamatti was. You know his son Paul Giamatti, talented actor who you
great
see
actor
on Billions, who plays the Attorney General. His father was a university president, was a true lover of baseball, and is arguably, Carl, the last time you had a true independent, well, Faye Vincent, who came up after him, but the last time that the owner really worked for the fans, for the players, and for the owners, for everybody. Since then, they've become, obviously, you know, we know where Selig's allegiance lied, and then, I don't know, I've been told by Tom Glavine that I should trust Rob Manfred, that he spent a lot of time negotiating with him back in the day, and he's said he's a straight shooter. I think there's been some moments that have been kind of embarrassing for Manfred. I thought he was going to be I was excited about him. I just honestly, bro, I think he's just another stooge for ownership. I mean, do you think he's going to be a guy that's going to, you know, help to broker this, or is he going to do what the owners tell him to do?
No, I don't know, man. I mean, honestly, I think when I think about Rob Manfred, he stepped into a situation where you went, it can't get any worse. Like, you were like, okay, he's got to be better than Bud Selig. And then, you know, some of these things have played out, and now we're seeing how he's handling stuff. I don't know yet, man. I haven't judged, like for example, Mike, Roger Goodell. He's been on the job now for over a decade. You know what you have formed your opinions about Roger Goodell. Right. And Goodell went from trying to be the nice guy and the goody two shoes to I'm king of kings, ruler of rulers, and I'm going to, you know, punish these guys beyond belief, and then became a bad guy and then was smart enough to say I'm going to relieve myself from that duty. So he's gone through these transitions. But you still feel some kind of way about Roger Goodell. I don't know what to think of Rob Manfred yet.
Yeah, because the thing with Goodell is going to be a law and order man. Not that, I mean, there were some incidents that maybe Tagliabue didn't make into a federal case, but the problem was Goodell's guys botched it. You know, I mean, the way the Ray Rice thing went down and everything else. I mean, any kind of moral authority had went out the window because they were so incompetent and how inconsistent they also doled out, you know, judgment and justice, you know, as judge and executioner, judge, jury, and executioner in the NFL. With Manfred, I don't know. He's got a background in labor. You would think that he would be a voice of reason. It just seems like you've got, you know, and look, some of this is tactics, and I fall victim to it. I think we all do when you see the headlines. You go, boy, that just sounds like a bunch of BS. Same thing with MLS owners. I read that article. I no sooner read this article in The Athletic that the ESPN had an article like an hour later that they had backed off. It's tactics. You know how it is. You go high, your boss goes low on your salary. But the idea that we were going to have a lockout in MLS or, you know, baseball, they're still ridiculous. Why are we going to play baseball and we play 50 games and we got half the summer left? I don't understand that.
Me neither. It makes
why,
that,
why
that
not,
part.
Why not 80? I mean, 82. Split
82.
The baby, right? I don't get this. Players want 114. Owners are coming back with 50. If you're so cash poor, wouldn't you want more money through TV or whatever you can get in the stadium?
I would agree, especially not knowing if fans are going to be there to start and it doesn't look that way. But, yeah, I think 82 games. That's why I was kind of like, okay. But then they came back with more, Mike, because the players felt like they were being slighted.
Right.
By the owner saying we need to take more money from you. Right. So understand that, at least in the player's point of view, that Rob Manfred could be the broker and really address this. But Mike said it. He works for the owners, and therefore, when you talk about Major League Baseball, not the health or the well-being, it's the health and the well-being of the ownership.
Right.
So, you know, again, how do we make the most money? How do we maintain this product so that people keep coming back? That's what Rob Manfred's trying to do. And if, you know, you tell me differently, then I need to see it, because we should already have an agreement and should be talking about when baseball is going to report. We already know, at least we think, when we know basketball is going to do that. Or for that matter, Mike, now it looks like MLS, which we'll talk about more, because, you know, MLS is smart enough to know they can't botch this, right?
Right.
If you screw this up, all the momentum you have is out of the window. And we say this all the time. Think about all the things on your plate right now and what's going on in your mind, okay? Where's MLS? Like, big picture. So if you go away and you can't come to an agreement because, well, for whatever reason, the players aren't happy or the ownership thinks they should be getting more, you just screwed all the momentum from 2017 that you've gotten with the help of our club, by the way, Atlanta United, expanding the brand and making it more known worldwide as to what this is.
You're right. And, you know, it's funny. I looked and I mentioned this on Twitter today. If you go back and you look at the NHL, and you could argue that Gary Bettman, that's a rudderless ship, and they've had some real a real vacuum at the top. But the NHL has really struggled. Anytime they had a big storyline or they had momentum, you know, Gretzky getting to the finals and the Canadiens, the Rangers winning the Stanley Cup, and then the Devils, and then they have labor issues. Just like Atlanta United. I mean, part of the reason Atlanta United isn't here amongst, you know, gross negligence by ownership, we had a lost season. You know, in the NHL. The MLS can't afford it because they don't have the foothold yet. We know what we've got here in Atlanta, and because of Atlanta, we have expansion. Because of Atlanta, we have hundreds of millions of dollars in money coming in for these new teams. But you can't blow it. You got two sexy teams in LA, you got Atlanta, which has shown everybody how to do it, and now this is where you use that as a springboard. You don't go backwards by locking guys out and missing a season, when you could be like NASCAR and have the entire stage to yourself and show people that are interested what you have.
Next Saturday, here's a quick reminder, and it's actually this Saturday. It's June 6th, okay? At 1 o'clock, our man, Hugh Douglas, will be commentating a simulated game between the Falcons and the Eagles legends. Now, Hugh's going to represent the Falcons. Right. Ike Reese is going to represent the Eagles, and this will be through radio.com and streamed on our Facebook page. So you guys want to check this out. Because I think it's going to be interesting. So it's 92.9 The Game. Hugh Douglas and former Philadelphia Eagle linebacker Ike Reese.
Ike serving, is a trip, by the way. We've had Ike as a wild man. He'll be a lot of fun.
Serving as commentators. And then it's the Falcon legends versus the Philadelphia Eagles legends. It's a simulated football game presented by Radio.com. It's happening at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Again, on Facebook Live, 92.9 The Game. Facebook Live page. So check that out, guys. And Hugh, it'll be a lot of fun. Again, these simulated games, by the way, Mike, have become kind of the thing. So
right.
We'll see what happens. All right, man, that's Saturday. Coming up next, though, we're going to talk about what's going on in and around the NFL with our NFL Blitz segment. And then you're going to hear from Lloyd Pierce at around 3:20, Atlanta Hawks head basketball coach, talking with John and Hugh today, talking about a variety of things. But you guys know, just as we asked Coach Norville, where are you at? What are you doing? Where's your head at? And how are you addressing this with your players? And I think Coach did an excellent job of kind of laying out what's been going on with him. Lloyd Pierce on the way at 3:20. But we'll come back. And when we do, man, we're going to talk more about what the NFL players are saying. And more guys are stepping up. And, Mike, who's the favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year? Could it be a Falcon? It's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.